The views expressed are not necessarily those of 1010XL 92.5 FM. Now, Compton & Company, brought to you by United Rentals on 1010XL. Here's your host, Ron Compton.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the L House in Tinseltown. It is Compton & Company. Glad to have you along with us, talking sports with you. It's 2 o'clock today as we're getting brought in by one of the best walk-up songs of all time, Enter Sandman. I mean, why do we pick this, right? He was the best closer of the game, and that's what we're doing for the week. We're closing out the week. Local Sports Talk Radio right here in Jacksonville, Florida, on the heels of day two of the National Football League draft. Both poll questions are centered around the draft. And your Jacksonville Jaguars, Casey Dobson. And we'll throw those questions out here in a few moments. We've got some, as far as winners and losers. And, boy, the pick might turn out to be okay in a few years, but there's no doubt who the biggest loser is after 2 days in this NFL draft. Hey, and it shows you, here's a couple quick nuggets. Obviously, 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks, none since, as day three is getting started now, high noon. The run on DBs and wide receivers took place in the second rounds, right? There was more offensive linemen taken, I think 25 in the first 3 rounds than ever before in the modern draft. There's still a lot of good football players will be found on day three. And let's just hope the Jacksonville Jaguars are able to take one or more of these 6 third-day picks and find a hidden gem somewhere, like the Raiders did with Max Crosby a few years ago, that the Chiefs did with Legarius Sneed, the Lions with Amon St. Brown, who just got paid to the tune of 3 years, $96 million. And, of course, Puka last year and Brock Purdy, who was obviously Mr. Irrelevant. So those are day three guys over the recent history in the last few years that have been big strikes. And let's hope the Jaguars can have a big strike today. And we will now welcome in Chuck Elliott, who might be on his way in. Chuck, welcome. Glad to have you.
Okay. About a half hour out, so you think it might be worth it, someone over there.
I think you should. Why not?
So going inside the business, the service I went to, you were right. It was something.
I told you, yes. Yeah, different. Different. Back to the draft, okay? Go ahead, Casey Dobson, throw out our 2 poll questions for the folks brought by our folks at All Site Contracting.
Will do. First of all, I missed you boys. Did y'all miss me?
Of course.
No. Oh, okay, good. Of course. I just wanted to get that out there real quick. All right, because I missed y'all. All right.
Did not.
All right. Well, Chuck, we'll hug it out later, okay?
What'd you do? Well, real quick, what'd you do? Did you have a vacation?
Concert. Right. Concert.
Yep. I went down to Earth Day Birthday in Orlando, took the family, took my boys to their first major concert. I tell you what, it was really, man, I'm getting old, boys. I'm getting old, that's for sure. So, getting a little teary-eyed, but let's move forward. So, the first question of the day brought to you by All Site Contracting, Inc. is, what's your take on the Jags' 2024 draft results? Notice I had to put that out there because I didn't want the people to be like, well, we've drafted pretty crappy up to this point. But right now, stand-up double is leading the way over home run, Texas leaguer, and a strikeout.
Yeah, and that's what my grade would be, stand-up double.
I agree with you. That's what I voted.
I think day one was a home run. They were able to trade back, 6 spots and still got the player they were targeting, and Brian Thomas Jr., a field stretching potentially a game-wrecking wide receiver. You know, 6'3", 209, runs a 4.3 40, and we talk about the 40 being an overrated event at the combine. Well, what I will tell you about Brian Thomas is he plays fast. You know, he doesn't just have the parking lot speed. He actually plays fast on the football field. So his 4.33 speed on the track is very – it's a very similar speed on the field. So I like that pick. You know what? You know, day two, you know, the pick of Mason Smith. Look, it. You know, he's – look, I don't know how closely you guys follow recruiting, but he was as high a five-star as there was – coming out of high school. I mean, he was as high as a recruit as there was in the country. Goes to LSU. He obviously flashed a lot of talent. Had injury issues, right? And that's been, you know, there's been Chuck mentioned to me early on that, the fans are out again. And I get it. I get it. Perception is reality. That Trent Baalke is the king of drafting injured players, whether it was in San Francisco or here in Jacksonville. But I will tell you that where I this one doesn't bother me as much. You know, so they've got – do you know who Matt House is, Chuck? Do you know who Matt House is? Any idea?
No, I do not. I know the picture. I knew Tom House.
You know Tom House. That's right. Now you know Tom House is. But, no, Matt House is the current linebackers coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last year, he was the defensive coordinator at LSU. So I would say that the Jaguars have some inside information on the health and the injury issues that that Mason Smith may or may not have. So I trust that. So I'm not as worried about his injury issues he's had in the past as I might have with others. So I feel a little more at ease with the pick of Mason Smith, who, again, he can be a game-wrecking defensive tackle. Again, he was as highly thought of as a recruit as there was coming out of high school. And then, they go in the third round, they were able – because, look, there was a run on corners and wide receivers in the second round, man. So, luckily for the Jaguars, they were able to address both. They got the wide receiver first, and then the corners. Then you had, I think, four or five picks in a row in the mid-second round. Corners went. So they went the D-tackle. And they got Jerrion Jones, a corner from FSU, who can play inside and outside, but he's more of a slot corner. But he's a ball hawk, man. He's a good football player. And he'll step up and tackle as well. He's not a guy that will fears contact. So I like to pick at corner. So I would give it a solid stand-up double. But again, day one, a home run, you slide back six spots, you add three picks, a fifth, an additional five this year, a third and fourth next year, and still get your guy. And the reason I'm fairly convinced that they did get their guy, and it's not just lip service. You know, the talk was, you know, receiver, DB, receiver, DB. Well, when they were on the clock, Tyrion Arnold, the DB, was still there as well. And he still went with the receiver. So I like what they did. We'll see how things play out. So far, so good. And then this leads us into our second question, which is
Casey Dobson. So real quick, to pick up, I had to educate myself, and thank you, Ron, for doing so. But we did actually get a comment on that question of the day. And a Texas leaguer is a bloop that falls between an outfielder and an infielder.
That is correct. Did you not know that?
I did not know that, and I
really?
Guess I got to give half of my baseball card to you.
Wow, so you didn't
know that. And
wow.
It's obviously comes from when Ollie Picketing got four hits in his first game after being called up from the Texas League.
See, I didn't know that part. I've always known since I was about 8 years old what a Texas leaguer was.
Yeah.
But I did not know where it came from.
Yeah. So there you go.
How about speaking of before we get the second poll question out, I've been back and forth about as to whether or not I was going to coach a 19U summer baseball team this ceremony? Well, I guess the answer is yes. I guess I'm back to coaching, Chuck. Back to coaching. And talking, you know, with my son, you know, just had his – and I know, and I'm surprised, Casey, that Chuck didn't comment on, you know, Facebook as well and you know, get on to me for shedding tears Tuesday. So my son played – had senior night Tuesday. You know, it was a win at the new ballpark in Bay Meadows, Fort Family Regional Center. Very nice facility if you haven't been out there, by the way. Very, very nice. And it's not just baseball. They have pickleball. They've got flag football. They've got fields all over the place. City Rand Park, walk-off charities. I mean, just it's an outstanding, outstanding park. If you haven't been out there, you should. Then last night, last regular season game, went up to Hilliard. 5-4 loss. But played well. We were down four starters. Four of our opening nine at Rebart High School, which we don't have a lot of depth anyway. We lost 5-4, you know, and then we have district for the four seed in our district. We play, and my son was, you know, toe the mound Monday night against Stanton, the smart kids. So we'll see if he can outsmart them on the mound on Monday night. But it'll be his last high school start before he embarks, you know, this summer, and then play college ball in the fall. So was it okay, Chuck? Are you pulling my man card as a dad that's watched this young man play ball since he was four, either coached him or been there, never missed a game in my entire life, and here we are at the end. Was it okay to shed a tear on senior night, Chuck?
That was okay. I have
no problem. I was making sure it was a bit emotional Tuesday.
It sounds like you have no confidence, eh? Because you should say, "Well, you know, this is the last. We're going to win the district. We're going to make the playoffs. We're going to have a run. I mean, not a deep run, but you know, who's number one in your district? Do you know?"
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, look, you know me. I am glass overflowing full guy. Okay, I am. You know that. That's me when it comes to my teams. But I'm also a realist. The issue is, I just mentioned we're down three starters, you know, one of which is our number two pitcher, has great stuff. He's out. You know, we don't have a deep pitching staff, man. And we get, if we win Monday night, then we face Bishop Kenny, who's always good. and that will be daunting. That will be daunting. But, hey, you never know. You know what? You line up and you play, right? You line up, you play. You roll out there. But I just want to get through Monday.
One game at a time.
One game at a time is correct. All right, one more. Give us the second poll question, Casey. Then we'll break, and we'll come back, and we'll address that question as well.
So the second poll question of the day brought to you by Offsite Contracting, Inc. What do you hope that the Jags do on day three of the draft? And we gave you just two options, the best available player or target O-line help, and target O-line help leading the way, 60-40 split right now.
And I agree with that. The Jaguars must feel good about their O-line this year. And I get it. Look, I understand why they feel okay this year. But beyond this season, you know, both Walker Little and Cam Robinson are free agents. Right? And Brandon Sheriff isn't exactly, a spring chicken any longer, right? So you have to address that line, I think, on day two and hopefully hit on a couple of guys. We'll give a couple of names when we come back. We will talk about, you know, there's a booth poll question. We have On This Day in Sports, the Hot Atlanta Braves. We will certainly talk about them, winners of 10 of 11 games, the NBA playoffs as well. And, Chuck, I'm doing something tonight. Okay, I'm going to let you think, Chuck. I didn't tell you what I'm doing tonight, did I? You have no idea, correct? Chuck?
You did not.
Okay, so when we come, I'm gonna let you both think about what's Ron going to be doing tonight that I haven't done in like forever, and see if you guys can even get close to what me and my I'll give you him. Me and my younger son are doing tonight. So we'll come back.
You've done it before.
Yeah, many years ago. Been a long time, a very long time. All right, so we'll come back from the old house here in Tinseltown. Talk you know, draft talk, again, NBA playoffs on this day in sports, that a whole lot more after this on 1010XL.
This is Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company, coming from the old house in Tinseltown. Glad to have you along with us. Come by, watch a little college baseball. The Gators have a double dip today. They play the Arkansas Razorbacks. Lost a tough one last night. Finally got good starting pitching, but didn't get any timely hitting. 2-1 losers getting a double dip today. And they will be on the AM side at 1 o'clock. And we'll, obviously, we'll still be on the FM side. Again, the old house, Tinseltown. Look, this draft central, the draft, softball, baseball, the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball action as well, you name it. It's all here at the L House. All right, 641-1010, 641-1010, phone lines, text lines open to you. Poll questions to get out there. Are these brought to you by All-Site Contracting? What are your thoughts after 2 days of the draft for the Jaguars? Home run, stand-up double, Texas leaguer, or did they strike out completely? And then the other, what would you do day three? Go with best player available with each pick, or would you focus on the offensive line? Those are the two poll questions that are out there for you. All right, so bouncing through a bit, it says we are, you know, awaiting a late arriving Chuck Kelly, who should be here momentarily. So the Falcons, I'm sure – Casey Dobson, you've seen the movie Draft Day.
Yeah, I actually enjoy it, man. I have seen it, yeah.
Oh, I did too. The scene in the Atlanta Falcons war room was like similar to the one in Draft Day, where the owner rolled in and he was ticked off that they didn't draft Bo Callahan. He was mad with what Kevin Costner did. Oh, ultimately, it worked out. Everybody was happy. He got all his picks back and got the guys that he wanted. Arthur Blank rolls into the war room in Atlanta. He's like, "Yo, dog. Hey, Terry Fontenot, what are you doing? I mean, what did you just do? You just convinced me 6 weeks ago, to give Kirk Cousins a 4-year, $180 million contract with really, they say 90, but it's really $100 million guaranteed. It's $90 million guaranteed at signing, but if he's on the roster next March, it triggers another $10 million. So you've guaranteed $100 million to Kirk Cousins for 2 years, which tells me you think you're in win-now mode. Are we going to go try to win a championship? And look, I'm not saying a Super Bowl run would be in the offering, but they certainly can win that division. That division they're in doesn't appear to be much because no one thought the AFC South would be much this past year either, and we see how that played out. But Atlanta can certainly contend to win that division. The defense is better than it was. You've got playmakers on the outside. Kyle Pitts, we'll see with Kirk Cousins. Does that unlock his upside, right? You're obviously set with a two-headed monster in the running back position. So it's all there. So why not go give the dude you just guaranteed $100 million to something else to help the team win now? But no, you're going to go draft his replacement? It's the most mind-boggling pick I think I've ever seen in the draft. Honestly, ever. I get it.
I won't say ever.
Well, give me another one that's more puzzling, that makes any less sense than that, Chuck. Seriously, think about it. They knew 6 weeks ago that Michael Penix Jr. would be on the draft board at 8. So why in the hell do you take? Why do you pay Kirk Cousins $180 million? If you know you're going to draft a quarterback at 8, why? Makes zero sense. So you can look at it either way. All right, well, we're going to take a quarterback at 8. Why would we pay Kirk Cousins? All right, well, we paid Kirk Cousins. Why would we take a quarterback at 8? Give me another pick, Chuck, in your opinion, that's been more mind-blowing than that. Give me one. Just give me one. One. There's been picks 99. That make you – go ahead. Go ahead.
99, giving up the whole draft for Ricky Williams.
That was a good one. That's true. That's a good one.
That's much worse.
Maybe. But this one here, man. The pick, though. But at least with Ricky Williams, when they gave up the draft, you knew who they were picking. And this guy's going to help our team, the football team. At least he was on the field and he could play. The Atlanta Falcons just took a dude that's not going to play for 2 years unless Kirk Cousins, the ACL gets re-injured or something. He's not going to play. He's not going to help your team win. It's one thing if you're the Packers and you draft Aaron Rodgers to replace Brett Favre, or you draft Jordan Love to replace Aaron Rodgers. I didn't agree. I wouldn't have done either. But you get it, okay? Guy's been on your roster for a while. Okay, I'm going to draft a guy. He's going to groom. He's going to learn. But not after you just went and paid a free agent that's in his 30s that much money. It just makes zero sense. Casey Dobson, your thoughts, sir?
I don't mind it, really.
You don't mind it?
No. I mean, what do you want from me? I don't mind it.
You don't mind it?
No.
So worst pick ever. Fan, you'd be like, okay, that's fine. We're going to have a problem with that. We can get weapons for Cousins, but we're going to take Michael Bennett.
You're talking about the Atlanta pick. I mean, it was boneheaded for sure, but, I don't mind it because it ain't my team, bruh.
Well, let's act like team. It's your team.
That's not what we're talking about. If the Jaguars came,
I'd be changing teams because what are you paying Kirk Cousins $180 million for to go out and draft somebody that's going to be sitting behind him? Oh my god, it was stupid, man. Worst pick though. I don't know. Didn't we draft a kicker?
A punter. We drafted a punter because he was a weapon when Russell Wilson was still on the board.
Though, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Fourth round. That was fourth round.
Then you just wasted a pick because either you're wasting $180 million on Kirk Cousins or you just wasted your first round draft pick.
Would be like the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, that's stupid. It's dumb. So.
But talk about good situations guys walk into. How do you think Justin Fields feels? Think about the lack of weapons he had in Chicago. Now all of a sudden Caleb Williams gets to walk into a locker room that has recently acquired DJ Moore, last offseason, or actually midseason, a year and a half ago, whatever. Recently acquired Keenan Allen. Then you go, obviously, they go draft Adunze. Cole Kmet. He gets all of that. What a situation to walk into. But I'll tell you what, had I been the Bears, I think I would have drafted, Brock Bowers over Adunze. I think Brock Bowers might have the highest floor of any player draft in the first round. He's absolute bust proof. Unless he's injured, Brock Bowers is going to be a stud. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a superstar, but it's quarterbacks. You just don't know, right? You just don't know. Wide receivers, defensive backs, high bust rates, offensive linemen, their bust rates are very low. But I think, man, Brock Bowers is going to be a superstar. Could you imagine? And he lines up everywhere. He doesn't just line up as a tight end. Think of the different formations they had and the different positions he lined up in Athens. How many tight ends do you see take a jet sweep and run by a secondary? You don't see many do that. You see Brock Bowers do it. To me, that would have been an absolute home run for the Bears. And you know what? The Raiders, good for the Raiders and Gardner Minshew for him falling there. You look at the situation that J.J. McCarthy's going to walk into. Jordan Addison, you know, T.J. Hockenson, and, of course, Justin Jefferson. I mean, guys walking into to really good spots. Reminds you of, you know, last year when Brock Purdy walks into, you know, Ayuk and Debo Samuel and obviously McCaffrey, George Kittle. So some of these young guys are walking into prime situations, boys. Mr. Elliott?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll give it. Did I get to answer your question or guess your question about what's doing?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, what's Ron doing? Not that he hasn't done in 100 years.
Can I get three guesses? Because
sure.
So, and I'll give them as they came to me in order in my head.
Okay. Okay.
So first thing that popped my head, I would say Jumbo Shrimp Game.
No, I've done that. I've done that. Did that last year. A couple
okay,
times.
How about bowling?
Nope. I've bowled about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. My last guess: going to a movie.
Nope, you're 0 for 3. Casey, you want to take a guess, Casey?
You know I'm not good at guessing. Give me the question again. Go.
Me and my younger son are doing something tonight that I haven't done in, gosh, 20
years. Oh, man, I know the answer to your question. I heard you say what you had, so you got to count me out. I'll give Chuck a hint, though.
Okay.
One of the major pieces was seen on draft day wearing a neck brace. Did Chuck, did you watch the draft?
I watched the first round from the last night.
Wait, you didn't watch when the Jaguars selected and who was on TV?
The first
round?
His
dad has a sweet mustache. He was wearing a neck brace.
What, the first round?
Oh,
yes.
Goodness.
Who was out there the first round? I thought it was Fred Taylor. Somebody was out there the first round.
I don't know.
No.
We're going to give you
Chuck.
Another hint.
Chuck's botching all this. Go ahead, give him one more.
Okay, NWO.
NWO? Okay. Kevin Nash? I don't know.
Okay, Chuck, okay. He loses. Chuck loses.
He's
it's
gone,
over.
Man.
Game's over.
You better turn
Game's
around
over.
And head home.
Game's over. I'm going to the AEW wrestling tonight, Chuck, at Daly's Place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tony Khan was pile-driven Wednesday night. And he played the part real well. He, you know, when the pick was made Thursday night, they showed the Jaguars war room, and he still had a neck brace on that he wore after they put on him after he got pile driven.
Oh, okay. Well,
there you go.
Well, how was NWO a hit?
He's mentioning wrestling. He's just talking wrestling, Chuck. He's just talking wrestling.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like an NWO member or something.
Oh, my gosh.
He just doesn't get it, Casey. He just doesn't get it, Casey. My goodness, his mind is all over the place. That's okay. That's why I love you, Chuck. I do. Yeah, that's okay. But anyway, so yeah, AEW tonight at Daly's Place. Myself, along with Dallas, we're going to go watch some of that stuff, man. I'm looking forward to it. Again, it's been a lot of years since I've been to a wrestling event, and I couldn't really tell you a lot of names that are currently wrestling. Really, can't. I mean, I used to watch it all the time back, like in the the 90s and early 2000s. More draft notes. How about Michigan and Washington both had 7 players apiece taking through the first 3 rounds of the draft, and it's the first time through the first 2 days that an SEC school hasn't had the most number of picks. First time since Ohio State did that in 2016. So, you know, again, hopefully, you know, some day 3 gems, there will be some had. Let's hopefully, you know, hope the Jaguars, as they throw dart to the dartboard, get lucky on 1 or 2. Yeah, I just, you know, I don't think many people have a lot of trust in Trent Baalke. But at some point in time, man, look, a blind squirrel finds the nut every once in a while, right? They just do. Brandon Dorlis just went. He was a guy that was a notable guy on the board. I can't tell who took him, but he was. I was going to mention a few players that notable players were left. Jalen Wright, the linebacker. I mean, Jalen Wright, the running back from Tennessee was still out there. Spencer Rattler, how about again, six of the first 12 picks are quarterbacks, and not one has gone since then. The linebacker, Cedric Gray from Carolina. I just mentioned Brandon Dorlus from Oregon. He just went. And then wide receiver Tony Franklin, field stretcher at Oregon, is out there as well.
Ex-Texas A&M kicker Tony Franklin plays the Eagles. Now he morphs into a wide receiver. He's come back. He's back as a wide receiver.
Man, but there, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. How about 16 wide receivers taken in the first three rounds? So I think the Jaguars, you know, they did they tried to trade back up into the latter part of the first round Thursday night. The price was too steep. Their talks where they were trying to move higher into the second round yesterday to target a DB. The price was too steep. Well, then you had to run on defensive backs. Obviously, they stayed where they were. Drafted Mason Smith, a defensive tackle, and then was able to at least get the DB, Jerrion Jones, from FSU in round three. So it's interesting. They've got to go early on, man. They've got to go early on, tackle guard here, because, again, you're – two of your top three tackles are free agents at the end of the year, and Walker Little and Cam Robinson. So we'll break here, and I'll tell you why when we come back. As long as they can remain healthy, I think the Jaguars' offensive line this year has a chance to be pretty good if they stay healthy. Yeah, and that's a big if. We'll discuss that as we broadcast to you from the Ill House on 1010 XL. And welcome back to Compton & Company, company from the Ill House in Tinseltown for all your sports action. It's all here, every package, whether it's extra innings, league pass, center ice, NFL ticket. UFC fights, wrestling pay-per-views, it's all here. Daily drink specials, bucket specials. As I'll tell you what, man, and I say, you know, they're like a hybrid. You know, you want sports, like your sports bar food and all the TVs, that's all here. You want a steak, you want salmon, that's here. So they've got regular, you know, burgers and dogs, but they've also got steak and seafood as well right here at the Ill House in Tinseltown. Come by and say hello to us, 641-1010. Poll questions out there. Sponsored by Allsite Contracting. Again, one more time, they are what, Casey Dobbs?
Whoop, whoop. All right, so the first one from Allsite Contracting, Inc. is, what's your take on the Jags' 2024 draft results so far? Home run, stand-up double, a Texas leaguer, which is a base hit, or a strikeout. Right now, still leading the way is stand-up double with 66%. I want to know the people that think we struck out. I gotta get some comments on that.
Yeah. What's the percentage of
5?
Just 5%. Okay, yeah. Just 5%. Okay.
And then our second one, still piggybacking off of the draft. What do you hope that the Jags do on day 3 of the draft? Pick the best available player or target some O-line help? Everybody wants Trevor Lawrence protected, with 60% leading the way at just under 100 votes.
Yeah, that's Chuck Hill. It has made his way here. I see him walking over. But yeah, look, I would say the offensive line, Christian Jones, a tackle from Texas, is still on the board. Javon Foster, the tackle from Missouri, he's still available. And those are some guys, man, that I would absolutely target here in the middle rounds. Because, again, a guard, Christian Mahogany from Boston College. Those are some dudes, man, that just some big guys up front, man. Give me some big guys up front. Those are the guys that I'm targeting day 3 of the draft. I'm, you know, hopefully, and again, one of these 6 picks you might hit on. and you know, find yourself a hidden gem somewhere. So that's what I'd do. Okay, so now I said before the break that I feel maybe a little better about the Jaguars' offensive line maybe than others do. You know, going into the 24 season. Look, they were, man, you know, we talked a lot about Trevor Lawrence being banged up all year. Look, and the shoulder, the concussion, the knee, the ankle. I mean, you name it, he was nicked up all year. But so was the offensive line. Cam Robinson, Ezra Cleveland, you know, all, you know, had injuries, right? I mean, so, and then your center position, Luke Fortner, just wasn't any good. So now you look at the offensive line, right? When you look at and now does Walker Little move inside now? I mean, to me, it's I'm always subscribed to the theory you play your best five. You know, if you can block and move guys around, you can block and move guys around. I get it. You want to have better feet if you're on the outside, be more of a Brahma bull if you're inside. I understand, but. And I know Walker Little played better when he played on the outside than he did inside. But overall, when you look at the offensive line, it's a big if. Look, you know, go get Mitch Morse. And we talked about him some last week, man. I mean, look, he's a dude that was the center for both, you know, Patrick Mahomes. And most, you know, more recently of you know, of Josh Allen, and there's something to be said for that itself. I mean, I don't think that can be overstated, with, you know, with what he means to a guy like Trevor Lawrence, that quarterback center, you know, connection, making the right line calls and whatnot. So you're a lot better at the center position. You know, you get Cam Robinson with that, you know, not being suspended. Not being injured on one side, and look, as far as you know, other tackle, man, look, you know, really, your best offensive lineman last year was Anton Harrison, right? So he's going into his second year, and you would hope that he'd make that leap year over year. So now you're good at your tackle position. Ezra Cleveland, remember. I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard of him. And then here they traded for Ezra Cleveland. Then I go do a little research, and I find out that he was he graded out as one of the best interior linemen in the National Football League. Then he comes in, and he gets nicked. So not only was Trevor Lawrence nicked a lot last year, but the offensive line was banged up. So if you get those guys back and healthy, I think you have something there. But the problem is, though, moving forward, is I mentioned both your two of your three tackles are free agents, you know, at season's end, right? So that's the issue. You know, then as far as depth, you know, I guess, you know, Cooper Hodges from Baker County, who they liked a lot, was hurt in camp last year. But so I think that, you know, Tyler Shatley obviously back, who's sort of like your swing interior guy. So you figure you go add a couple pieces along the offensive front in day three, and then go into maybe the latter part of the draft. If you see some guys that have just fallen, it just screams value, maybe you do that there. But I think the first couple of picks I would go offensive line. How about you, Chuck?
You could never have too much offensive line, huh? By the way, Casey, I'm doing on the fly air check. Does that sound okay?
Yeah. You might want to turn yourself up just a little bit. But, yeah, you sound good, man.
Okay. I know we didn't get to do it during a break, but I just showed up here. But, anyway. Yeah, you got to reach for value at that, you know, position. And I would always, I know you said this, I would take a quarterback in late rounds. I would take a quarterback. Aren't you one subscribed to the theory you should take one every year? Not Michael Penix, but.
Take a quarterback a year. Man, you know, I get that.
Now, what's the status of Jordan Travis? Is he hurt that bad? I mean, why is he? Look, I'd rather have Jordan Travis than I would J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, come on. That's just
come
silly.
On. Why? What is J.J. McCarthy? He's gonna be a bust.
Would I say he's a big wild card? Absolutely. Yeah. Because there's not a large sample size at all. They're just it's not that much of a sample size.
Right.
But he lit it up at his combine, right? Pro day, whatever. He performed well against air.
Yeah, Smeal says. Yeah,
I get it. Does that mean he's going to turn into a superstar in the NFL? Absolutely not. But again, he's a wild card. I mean, he is truly the boomer bust guy. If you were to talk about quarterbacks taken in the first round,
well, if Jim Harbaugh, you know, wasn't lying through his teeth, he would have traded Justin Herbert and taken. If McCarthy was all that he tried to tell us he is, he would have taken McCarthy. He had the chance to trade him because people would have jumped on Justin Herbert in a nanosecond, right? But he didn't.
And
do
apparently,
it,
so. A couple of teams called about Justin Herbert.
Based
they said,
on what he
thanks,
said,
but no thanks, you know.
Well, based on what Jim Harbaugh told us.
But since, oh, you'd rather have J.J. McCarthy. I mean, you'd rather have Jordan Travis over J.J. McCarthy. Jordan Travis might get drafted in the sixth or seventh round. So, look, he's a smallish guy. He's elusive, but I don't think he's overly fast. He's got an okay arm. He was a great college quarterback. Had a great final season as a college. He had a great last senior season as a college quarterback. Not necessarily a great college quarterback. He was a good college quarterback. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, Chuck, that you're going to be a good NFL quarterback. Yeah. I'm a little surprised that Spencer Rattler's still available.
Yeah.
I like Spencer Rattler a lot. I think he's a guy that can has a big arm, mobile, has good size, and he's still out there. He's a dude, if I were going to take a flyer in the fourth round on a quarterback, that's a guy that I would draft. I'd be okay if they took him in Dallas. And speaking of the Cowboys, I guess we're going to go back to the future in Dallas. Zeke Elliott is probably going to get signed by the Cowboys.
He is?
That's what they say. That's what they say, you know.
Obviously, to is it going to be a league veteran minimum?
I have no idea. I can't imagine there'll be a ton of money.
Now, no running backs got taken in the first round, right?
Nope. The Brooks kid from Texas was the first running back off the board, I think at 46 to Carolina. And hey, give Carolina a little credit. They're trying to get some weapons for that midget quarterback they have, Bryce Young. They're trying a little more than the Falcons are. The Falcons have gone defense, defense, defense. Oh, the Jaguars, who are they select? Jaguars on the clock. Here we go. Who are the Jaguars picking with their first selection in round four? Please, let's hope that it's an offensive lineman.
Well, it's,
please.
Yeah, but it'll be someone you've never heard of, so.
Well, we'll see. I don't care if I've heard of them or not. Just get me a big ugly up front, man. Give me some depth.
And they, yeah, right. They have.
But you know, no, the Cowboys again. Yeah, they just
we got Trey Lance.
They see well, and that's the thing. You know, Trey Lance,
quarterback.
And that's another guy that you just don't know his numbers, and he's only had like four starts in the NFL. To his rookie year, to his second year, then he gets hurt. But you don't know. A small sample size, but has all the, size, speed, whatever. Oh, there we go. I just mentioned him. I just mentioned Javon Foster, did I not? I just mentioned an offensive tackle, Javon Foster, and that's where the Jaguars are with. Very nicely done. Very nicely done. That's exactly what you needed right there. Missouri tackle.
Said he has an average bend. Have you ever heard of an above average, below average bend?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Won't you show me? What do you think your bend is, Chuck? Is it average?
I'm guessing.
Below average?
Are they talking about like their stance, I guess?
My bend is a struggle. I struggle bending all the time these days. I'm struggling.
He's got an average bend.
I like the pick. They were nicely done. Now that's value and that's a position of need. So that's they got a twofer right there, bonus baby. I mean, because that was high value on the board and they need a tackle. So job well done, Jaguars and Trent Baalke.
How about that? 61% of our fans out there that voted Target OL help. Man, they just had themselves a nice little Saturday. Look at that.
See,
They voted on the All-Site Contracting, Inc. poll question, and now they're smiling like, hey, that was me. I voted.
Yeah, see? That's right. That's exactly right. So do you have any other surprises for either of you guys in the draft outside of the one we talked about, obviously, with Michael Penix Jr.? Any things that raise your eyebrows at all? Either one of you guys. What have your Dolphins done, Chuck? Have they even what have they done?
They took Chop Robinson. Was he linebacker Penn State first round? And they took a tackle or guard in second round from Houston, who they say is a 3-year project. I'm like, okay, why are you taking a 3-year project with your second round pick?
Jaguar just went back to LSU defensive tackle.
Jeez.
Jordan Jefferson. I mean, yeah, they're living. Well, I guess, hey, you know what? They've got that defensive coordinator, their linebackers coach with the D.C. For them last year, Matt House. There you go. I guess that's it, man.
Hire Brian Kelly while you're at it.
I might be okay. I'll be all right. You can be your offensive coordinator. What are you going to hire him to do? Huh, Chuck?
Right.
All right. So how about that? They went O-line, D-line. I like that. I like both picks. Wow. Look at that, Chuck. Do you like these picks, Chuck?
I guess they're
You don't know who they are, do you?
No. Do you know who they are?
I knew the first one was.
Okay, do you know the second one?
Nope.
Which I know we got a break, but I love on when you're watching a draft and they'll show, especially once you get past the first round, and they'll show these fans and stuff just going crazy. Last night a team selected a safety from Utah, and the fans are going crazy like they just, you know, like they just drafted Caleb Williams. Like, you have no idea who this guy is, and you're just, you know, celebrating like you just won the lottery.
Well, they're trying to celebrate their team, Chuck. Don't urinate on their picks, on their excitement. Man, you know, I mean, come on, Mr. Elliott.
Did you see the Philadelphia Eagles war room? It looked like the Illuminati in there. Casey, did you watch it? They all had like black and white black suits on.
Yeah, it was a little okay. Yeah, crazy.
I went, whoa.
Man, I did not see that. How about that? They all had the black suits and they drafted a white cornerback. You know?
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
Cooper DeJean, but they did, man. Man, I can't root for him now. Can't root for him. Hope he gets toasted every game, at least 6 times a game. I hate that city. You know? I don't like it at all. City of Philadelphia. City of brotherly love, my foot. Come on, man. I don't like them. All right, we'll break here. We've got to order some food, Chuck. I'm getting a little hungry. But I bet you already eaten food, haven't you? You didn't eat?
No.
No, you didn't stay? You didn't
I'd still be there eating right now, probably. What are you talking about?
Let's set us up for a break. We'll come back. We have poll questions out there. When we come back, we have a little on this day in sports. I'm sure there'll be some draft stuff on this day in sports. That more. After broadcast, you from Neil House in Tinseltown on 1010XL.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton and Company, coming to you from the L House in Tinseltown. Chuck Elliott, Ron Compton, Casey Dobson, glad to have you along with us. 641-1010, 641-1010, text lines, phone lines open to you. NFL draft is happening. The Jaguars have made 2 picks today. And I think, you know, we may have like a instant reaction, 3rd poll question that Casey Dobson is throwing out there. We have on this day in sports also some birthdays we'll go over. As well,
I was going to bring up. You got a chance. I was thinking about this. You get your thoughts. So you read the thing where starting this year, players can wear those Guardian caps over their helmets.
Yes.
And reading comments on Facebook, everybody's like, "Ha ha! Let's just make the game touch football, sissified everything." So 2 things I thought about this. Number and ask what your opinion. Number one, I think a lot of players like to do it. But I think the first players to start are going to be brave because you know the first ones are going to be, like, called out or you're a bunch of wimps. Now, think back to the 70s, 80s in hockey. Remember when a lot of guys didn't wear helmets. So now when you think of a guy as not wearing helmets, you're like, that's crazy. So I wonder if 20 years from now, everybody wearing them are like, boy, I can't imagine a time just think how nuts those players were back in the 2000s, early 2000s, that didn't wear these, you know, Guardian caps over their helmet. To me, it's just a safety progression.
No, I agree. And I don't, you know what? I think this will be a little different because obviously, you know, we are far more safety conscious now as a society than we were back in, say, the 70s and 80s. I mean, think about the 70s. I remember, like, you know, my mom and dad drive down the road, and I'm, like, in my mom's lap.
Or we rode in the back. My dad had a pickup. We rode in the back of the pickup store.
Pickup truck.
If he had had to swerve, we would have been dead.
Yes, that's correct.
But nobody thought about that.
Yeah. So I don't think it it's just, I think it will – it'll just sort of be okay. I don't think it will be difficult to be the first or second player or third player to come out and do that. I just think it's just a natural progression.
But do you think in 20 years, 15 years, whatever, it'll be everybody? My other question is, how are they going to get the logos on those? Because that's a problem. You wear them now, you don't see the helmet. You don't see the logo. So that takes away a lot from
that. That is true.
So do you think I'm right? Think in 15 years, they'll all be wearing them, and you'll be like, wow, I can't imagine a time when we didn't
wear
those.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I mentioned last week, like in 1877, they came out. The catcher started wearing catcher's mask. I mean, before then, they didn't wear them. I mean, imagine just getting a foul ball right back at you, knocking your teeth out. I mean,
which kind of plays into that. I saw a photograph yesterday where this was a picture from an old baseball game. Before the cameras had zoom lenses, it showed. I never knew this. They showed a lot of camera guys, like, lined up on the first baseline by the batter so you get a close-up shot. I'm thinking, if that batter hits a ball, foul ball, knock your head off.
Yeah.
They're just standing right there in their camera, right by the batter.
That's crazy.
And it's, you know, and one more thing about that, kind of like, you know, NASCAR back in the day, you wore the open-face helmets and actually ski goggles. And when, you know, some drivers started wearing full-face helmets, kind of like, come on, you wimp. Why are you wearing a full-face helmet? You know what's wrong? Now, you have to wear a full-face helmet. And you would think, now it looks odd to see someone go back and put on an open-face helmet. It's, you know, if you look back at the races, NASCAR races from the 60s, those helmets look like something you would buy at like, Western Auto to ride your go-kart around the yard. And they're riding around Daytona 180 miles an hour back in the day.
You know? That's true.
It's nuts.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, the NFL, how about when Roger Goodell met and asked questions, you know, during draft weekend about, you know, we're getting closer maybe to an 18-game schedule.
You knew that was coming.
Well, and I like it. 18-game schedule.
It's natural. I hate 17.
I mean,
it's so unnatural.
Yeah, you have 18 games.
You can't be 500.
You have two preseason games. And then also it would tie into the Super Bowl being played the President's Day weekend.
But now they're going to have to back up and start a regular season to Labor Day weekend because if they add 18, they're going to have two bye weeks, right?
Yep.
So right now, if you added 18, if you add an extra game and didn't back the season up, you would actually go – I guess you'd go a week past.
I guess, unless you took out the week off in between the Super Bowl.
But they're
going to
have – if you go 18,
games.
They're probably going to make a concession to have two
– And well, look –
Back
and
in
here's,
the 90s, they had two bye weeks.
Yeah, I know that. Now, and I bet you a lot of people forgot that.
You know, I remember that because, remember, 1992, Hurricane Andrew, the Dolphins actually didn't play. They got their one of their bye weeks that first week because of the damage down there.
Yeah. So you figure – now, look, it has to be collectively bargained, right? So the players have to agree. Now, when they went to 17 games, it only passed by – it was 51.5% to 49.5%. So it wasn't like a landslide. Hey, you know, it's widely accepted. The key is it's money. They tell the players, hey, look, guys, we're going to expand
a little bit of money.
Look, expand the rosters. Give an additional bye week. Well, which means, you know, one more week of regular season football. Now all of a sudden means, you know, more television revenue, which means a higher salary cap. Which means more money. And it's all about money.
They throw up a little bit of money in the players' eye.
Yeah, so they'll. I'm sure it'll
right.
It'll pass.
Remember when the talk was, no way we're going to play every Thursday night. That's just too hard on our bodies. Well, what do they do every Thursday night now during the season? They have a game.
Well, how about, did you know this year they're having a Wednesday game? They're playing on Christmas.
Yes.
They're going to play on Christmas, yeah. They're like, hey, NBA, hold my beer.
Well, I mean, again, they kind of did that last year.
I know they did. But that was on a Monday. They're saying, you know what, I don't care. It's Wednesday. We're going to do it on Wednesday as well. Again, I get it. Last year, it was Monday. It was easy. Monday night football, whatever. Now, after leap year, hey, it's a Wednesday. We don't care. We're working good midweek. We're playing midweek, boys and girls. No problem.
The owner just throw them a little money and a little bump up.
Also, Goodell envisions having up to 16 international games a year as well. 16. It's almost one a week.
One every week. Well, that
almost one a week. Almost. Not quite. Almost one a week.
Probably what they would – well, I was going to say they wouldn't have one overseas last week. And I was going to say they wouldn't have one overseas the first week. But this year they are having one international game. Yeah. Is it the Packers? The Packers and Eagles, right? Yep, in Brazil.
Yeah, yep. So we'll give you the third poll question here in a second, but it ties to today, right, as far as what your thoughts are of the Jags' third day. First was offensive tackle Javon Foster, 2023 third-team All-America, first-team All-SEC, Outland Trophy watch list as well. A nice addition to the offensive line. Then they went back to the LSU well. I guess they've talked to Matt House a lot. I mentioned early on that a lot of people that, are a bit concerned about Mason Smith and his injury issues, the pick in the second round, defensive tackle. Look, he was as high of a recruit as there was in the country when he committed to play at LSU. He flashed quite a bit for the Tigers. He had some injury issues, but Matt House was the LSU defensive coordinator. So if anyone knows Mason Smith and if he's okay, it'd be Matt House. And I don't think it's a coincidence. There's now three LSU Tigers that have been drafted by the Jaguars, their first handful of picks. Obviously, the wide receiver, Brian Thomas, we just mentioned Mason Smith, and now they just, with their second pick in round four, they go back to LSU, and they go to one Jordan Jefferson, who's in the 2024 Senior Bowl, transfer from West Virginia, appeared in 42 games and 17 starts. They're 6'4", 317 from Navarre, Florida. That's the panhandle, right, Navarre, Florida? That panhandle, right? And, he was Senior Bowl. Don't know much about him. All I know is he's a big dude that plays defensive tackle. So I guess he's a guy that will help plug that middle, Chuck.
And I staying with football. With going to college, I got to bring this up and kind of give you a little hard time. I guess the Bulldogs found the Gators' pocketbook with DJ Lagway. They found that money that Florida been looking for. DJ Lagway is going to Georgia.
What?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
DJ Lagway?
No, Jaden Rashad, a dummy.
Rashad.
Jaden Rashad.
Is that the one that went to Arizona?
Yes. Where are you? Yes. Okay. Jaden Rashad, not DJ Lagway. Jaden Rashad sucks.
Okay.
He's not any good.
Oh, wait a minute now. Well, okay, I was wrong, but you were all up in arms when he didn't get it.
No, what I would tell you
wasn't
is
there like a Gator incorporated?
Simmer down here. Just simmer down. Jaden Rashad, yes. A lot of Gators were upset that he ended up not in Gainesville. It was some rogue Gator guard that supposedly offered him $10 million, whatever it was, which wasn't real. Billy Napier found out about it and said, no, we're not doing anything stupid like that. He decommitted, went to Arizona State, barely, if ever, seen the field. He wasn't very good there. I don't know why in the world Georgia would sign him.
Why not? Wasn't he a good prospect? Wasn't he a good
recruit? But he was okay. And then Arizona State, he didn't see the field. If he was this hotshot prospect, he would have played some. He didn't play. So to me, it would alarm bells would go off if I was a Georgia fan. The reason I say that is yes, this year Carson Beck, great. He's gonna be probably the first player taken next year in the draft, top five for sure. Shedeur Sanders is the betting favorite right now to go number one overall. But Carson Beck will be a top 3 to 5 pick as long as he continues to do what he's done last year, going into this year. But you have Gunnar Stockton as well in Athens. So to me, That means if you're Georgia, you must not feel very confident in Gunnar Stockton and others behind Carson Beck. It doesn't make any sense to me because he's also the dad and the baggage comes along with this. He's like, it reminds me of a longtime fan of the TV show Friday Night Lights when old J.D. McCoy shows up with his booster dad that wanted to meddle in everything. He's a meddler. The dad's a meddler. So I'm thinking, if I'm Georgia, why do I want to sign up for that? I've talked to four or five Georgia fans, and they all hate it. They're all thinking, what the hell are we doing? We trust Kirby, but what in the hell are we doing signing this head case and this problematic dude in Jaden Rashada?
I guess at this point, would you distrust Kirby for what he's done? It's hard to distrust what
It's hard to distrust what he's done. But you almost maybe had a stroke and you're trying to tell me DJ Lagway went to Georgia. My goodness. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then it dawned on me, oh, Jaden Rashada.
Well, might be better off because in the long run, I don't know if you'd be happy with it. You might wish he went to Georgia when it's all said and done.
Lagway?
Yeah.
Oh, Lagway is supposed to be like, I mean, you talk about he was the number one player in the country.
Right.
Not just a quarterback. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year, number one player in the country, accounted for 75 touchdowns as a senior in Texas high school football. So I think we're good there, Chuck. I think he will be a Heisman finalist in 3 years. May not win it. He will be it may not even be in Gainesville. It may be somewhere else because if Napier doesn't win 7 games this year, he's fired and maybe Lagway goes somewhere else. I don't know. But I think Lagway has the goods to be in New York as a finalist.
As a finalist?
Yes.
Whoever
he plays for, hopefully it's as a Gator, but it could be as a member of Alabama or USC. I don't know, but I think he's that guy.
Well, it doesn't matter how good Ford is because the way it is now, these guys, it's a year-to-year basis. You know,
what makes me
– The Birmingham Car Wash Association may offer him a big deal, and he may be gone.
What makes me feel a little better about Lagway and his loyalties and his commitment is I don't know if his coach got fired or he left, but after his – sophomore year in high school, he lost his coach. And you had everybody begging him, hey, transfer here. The new coach came in, and he stayed. You know, he could have gone anywhere. IMG tried to get him down here. Do you know how much it costs to go to IMG a year?
I think it's like
$98,000. Yeah. $98,000, depending upon the sport, up to $98,000 a year to go to IMG Academy. I'm like, oh, my God.
So I have my hand raised for a question.
Yes.
Obviously, I would say not just athletes, most people can't afford that. That's a football factory.
Yes, it
is. So where is all this $98,000 pursuit of tuition coming from? Because most people can't afford to pay.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm sure this was partial or
here's another stupid
scholarships.
Question. Is that a regular school, meaning they have regular kids that go there that don't play sports, or is that just a football factory?
Well, it's a factory for not just football, but sports in general. I mean, all the top – it's the top high school in the country for just an athletic factory. It's not just football. It's everything.
So I'm thinking if you're not an athlete, is anyone going there that – okay, because if you're paying $98,000 a year
– I can't imagine anyone – if you're not – yeah, I can't imagine. I get what you're saying. If you're not an athlete, I can't imagine why you would go there. That doesn't matter. I have no
and
idea.
Both athletes' parents can't afford it. I mean, I mean, we think about here in Jacksonville, the most expensive school, I believe, is what, Episcopal? What are they, 30 or 40 a year now? And that's a big ask for most people.
Yeah, it would definitely be a big ask for many people. All right, we'll break here. We'll come back, and we'll bounce around on this day in sports and go through some birthdays as well. That and more from the Ale House in Tinseltown on 1010XL.
This is Compton & Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to the Ale House in Tinseltown. Glad to have you along with us. Look, over 70 TV screens here, all sports, all the time, right here. Baseball, basketball, football, you name it, it's here. Chuck Elliott's here, signing autographs until about 2:30. He'll hang out for about 30 minutes after the show, sign autographs. If you want to come, say hello to Chuck. about your Dolphins? I like what the Dolphins just did, man.
What they just did.
Dolphins just traded a third rounder in 2025 and got the 120th pick this year and got the running back from Tennessee, Jalen Wright. That's the guy that I mentioned early on I thought was one of the top players on the board that remain. And you guys just went and added more speed to go along with the speed you already have. So I think that's a nice pickup for your Miami Dolphins. What I like a lot about the Jaguars and what they've done is, you know, there's no small school stuff here. There's small school gene here. Brian Thomas, again, I get the bust rate is high with receivers. I think the only position that's got a higher rate of bust is defensive backs, corners. But, man, this Brian Thomas cat, dude, 6'3", 209, runs a 4'3", 340, 17 touchdown receptions last year. They say his comp is DJ Metcalf. Big dude, thinking this fast. But his issue is they say that he hasn't really ran every route on the route tree yet. But Doug Peterson said, look, he can run it. He can run every route. So I hope Coach Peterson's right. Mason Smith, second rounder, went back to LSU. Big defensive tackle. Again, he was as highly regarded as a kid out of high school as there was. Had some injury issues there. He did flash in Baton Rouge. But as I mentioned a couple of times, Matt House, who's a coordinator, the linebackers coach here, he has the inside scoop on Mason Smith. And they went FSU. Jerrion Jones, a cornerback. I've seen him, you know, create havoc against the Gators in their passing attack. And then today, Javon Foster, offensive tackle from Missouri, and Jordan Jefferson at LSU, defensive tackle. So they went SEC, 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 and then FSU. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Let's go to GSU Tom at 641-1010. What's up, Tom?
Just wanted, you were talking about the IMG Academy. You know, I know you know this, but that IMG stands for International Management Group. When Bollettieri started that down there in 1978 as that tennis academy and all, from what I know and everything else, they do have a very hefty financial aid package that they work yep. with people. And sometimes that, like if you get drafted today, you might be paying off part of that, that type of thing. It's where, you know, it's a financial aid package where you probably sign along the dotted line, and at the when you make money, they get a small percentage of it or they get it back. But I saw where they had roughly 25% of student-athletes on Division I teams. Of all the Division I teams, 25% of them had some association with the IMG Academy, whether it be, now, you know, a lot of those are tennis players and golfers and soccer yep. players and stuff added too. But that's just absolutely amazing. That place is something else.
Well, so just, it's kind of like winning American Idol. You win it, then you owe the man a lot.
I mean, I told like $96,000 or $7,000. I just looked it up. The tuition ranges between $86,400 and $96,900 a year, and they generate $80 million a year in annual revenue.
Well, I think I'm right about this. You know, they have two football teams. They have the good team. They have like the blue and the gold or blue and the red. They have two football teams, the really good one. And the next level.
And the okay one?
Yes. That's true.
Is it really?
Yes.
I did not know
well,
that.
And they're not FHSAA. They're part of not part of that.
I believe wow. they have 8 to 10 basketball teams that they have that play at different levels. I mean, in there. You know, some of them play with the, you know, the LeBron type academies and things like that.
Okay, yeah.
I think that there's not a limit on how many people. They'll just make another team.
Well, how about this? I didn't realize this. They sold last year for $1.25 billion.
I did not know that. Sold.
Right.
They sold, yeah.
Yep.
They were sold, yep.
An interesting thing going here in Jacksonville that doesn't get a lot of play is a Chaz Lanier kid that has been developed and worked so well by Matt Driscoll and all those guys over at University of North Florida, basketball player. He's put his name in for the draft to leave before his senior year. There's rumors that he's going to make $1 million NIL deal to go to an SEC or ACC type school at Chaz Lanier from UNF. I mean, we don't get a lot of play on that things. And then another thing, just talking about the money of college sports, a guy that when I was at Jacksonville University named Haman Quaintance, and anybody who went to the game knew who he was. He's probably the best athlete they've had since D. Brown and those guys. A guy named Q, they called him Q. His son was the number one top recruit. He signed an NIL deal that the thing about him is he is skipping his senior year of high school, and he's going to have to be 2 years in college. And it's rumored he signed a $2.1 million deal to go to Kentucky, but now he's already pulled out. Looks like he's going to follow Calipari to Arkansas. So it's just crazy the amount of money these guys are.
I remember, again, it's not near the money. I remember the story of Bryce Harper. You know, he dropped out of high school, got his GED, and then so he could fast track his way to the major leagues.
Yeah,
because they just knew he was going to be that good. He was hitting 500-foot home runs as a 14-year-old.
I can't leave you without at least the something brave. How about the Phillies going 7-1 last week and losing a half game?
Yeah, the Braves winners of 10 of 11. Tom, I'm glad I was going to mention the Braves too before we got out of here because obviously you know we're both big and Casey Dobson are huge Braves fans. Chuck used to be, but Braves winners 10 of 11. Alves gets back last night. How about Chris Sale? They were worried about his durability and his health, and he's the only pitcher in the majors to have three of his starts to go at least 7 innings, and he was masterful last night, innings of 2-hit ball.
I believe, and his name is it Ramirez that's had the 5 quality starts? Isn't that the new guy?
Yeah, the guy from, the White Sox, right? That's the guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and one final thing, and this goes to my thing, the Jaguars always talk about character and always talking about good people and everything else. I'm a firm believer if you don't have a couple guys in the locker room that you have to keep your locker locked, you're not going to win. Marcell Ozuna is going to win the MVP.
Man, Marcell Ozuna, it's crazy. I'm Ozuna from the Braves. he went from, and I remember the series, a lot of Braves fans were hoping he would get cut last year. And then he was close to DFA, designated for assignment, and they went down to play a 3-game set against the Marlins, and then he got hot. And when he got hot, man, and he just never slowed down. Right, never slowed down after that. He got after it. So,
Last thing, and I'll get out of here. I mean, they're playing right now at a 750 clip. They lost their all-star second baseman, their game day, their day one starter, and their all-star catcher, and they're playing at a 750 clip. I mean,
That's right. And you know, look, Max Fried finally, look, he came back and had a good outing. He had, they called the Maddox, had a complete game, less than 100 pitches, allowed, I think, scattered 2 or 3 hits. And Renato Lopez, the guy you're thinking of, he's 2-0 with an ERA, I think, of under 1. If the starting rotation can remain healthy, because obviously Strider out for the year, that'll be huge because the bullpen has been fantastic, man. Tom, we appreciate the call. That was GSU Tom, 641-1010. Something, you know, on a different show when Tom calls, man. I want to ask Tom how long he's been around the JU program. Because, you know, us as longtime Jacksonvillians, you know, I went down to many a game when I was a kid back in the 80s, the old Coliseum, and watched a lot of JU basketball in the old Sunbelt Conference.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm convinced that their demise was when they decided not to join the Metro.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
And, yeah, and I'm going to get his opinion, the guy that's been around the program for years, right? And decided to stay in the Sun Belt, and they were the only team in the Eastern Time Zone when everything changed. Because it was good stuff. I mean, it was high quality. I remember a few years ago when they were at Swisher, the one year that I think they Arizona State knocked him out of the NIT, or they maybe beat it. They beat Arizona State on the second round. They had Lehman Colbert, Marcus Allen, and Ben Smith. Me and my older son Ronnie would go, and man, we went to a lot of those games and watched. That was a fun. Fun team to watch.
Well, and for you younger people out there, and we're not talking ancient times of 70, we're talking the early, late 80s. What year, 91, did they host North Carolina? North Carolina came to the Coliseum? Was that 88? Is that right?
Oh, no. No, that was when the
91?
No, that was like when Carolina was at the Coliseum.
Yes.
It was like 85, 86.
Was it that early?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was like 80, between 88 and 91. But I remember I got an old newspaper, old Jacksonville, you know, Florida Times Union, and they had played Memphis State here in the Coliseum like in 78, and there was like 13,000 people there.
Yeah.
GU basketball. But, yeah, they hope North Carolina came to Jacksonville. Well, that we can, you, a lot of stuff you can't guarantee. Nothing's a guarantee in life, but here's what I can't guarantee, that North Carolina will never come to Jacksonville again.
It was a home and home.
Yes.
It was a home and home, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a home and home. I remember that. I mean, I remember that game.
They play FSU here every year.
Yep. They used to always play in the old Gator Bowl Classic.
Yeah.
They had that.
Was like the week of the Gator Bowl, the Gator Bowl game. And whoever won, it was a tournament, so whoever won the first two games would play for the championship. Well, remember the Orange Bowl used to have a basketball tournament, the Orange Bowl Classic. And then you had the, what was it, the Milk Challenge down in Orlando? They had that, and it was like, I think it was what, Florida State, UCF, and I guess it was Miami. I guess Miami was the fourth team in that.
Yeah, those were good times, man. What's weird is, you know, back then, again, I've told you this before, I watched, man, all college basketball. I mean, if it was a game during the week, I watched it all, and NBA as well. I just don't anymore. I just don't. I don't know why, but I don't.
And there's more of it on now than there ever has been.
I know.
And now you don't watch it. You watch it hardly at all.
Yeah, that is correct. Right. So we'll break here. We'll come back, and we'll close it out with on this day in sports and some birthdays and some finishing touches on the draft. I still shake my head when I think about what in the world are the Atlanta Falcons doing. Have no earthly idea. That and more for the Alehouse in Tinseltown on 1010XL.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company. It's Chuck Elliott, Ron Compton. He's coming back. He went off somewhere doing who knows what.
There's no telling, man.
He's back now.
Yeah, I get sidetracked, Chuck.
Yeah.
My bad.
Sometimes you come back from those breaks quicker than you think.
Yeah, I know, man. Casey gets in and out of these things in a hurry. And God bless Casey Dobson's all I can say. Keep this thing rolling, you know?
You're welcome.
They're showing it on LSU basketball game. Greatest thing about that, no three-point line, no shot clock. I was basketball, never will. No three-point line, no shot clock.
But yeah.
M-A-B-A, make basketball, or M-B-G-A, make basketball great again. Three-point shot has ruined basketball, I think. I know nobody agrees with me, but it's just everybody goes down and there's no inside game. You just go down and just put it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will say that. That the three-point shot, you know, the way they play now, people love to shoot the three ball and go to the basket. So the mid-range game has obviously taken a huge blow over the years. Hey, by the way, I want to go ahead and publicly apologize now.
Golly, how young Vitale.
I want to publicly apologize to Michael Jordan.
Wow. His race team won last week.
Yeah, they did. Congratulations. I'm just being funny when I say this. I said something last week that I get it. LeBron James, great basketball player, undoubtedly. But I said if the LeBron James leads the Lakers to an NBA championship this year,
he still could.
Then he could possibly you could put him in that Jordan conversation as maybe the best ever. But he's about instead of that. If they don't win tonight, he will have been swept back to back years by the Nuggets. And that would also be, there's been four times in his NBA career that he's been down 0-3. And three of the four times he's been swept. So tonight he's down 0-3. And if they lose tonight, that'll be four out of five times that he would have been swept as a player when down 0-3. I can promise you, I don't think Michael Jordan, I think he was swept early on in his career.
Rookie year, second year.
Yeah. I don't think they made the playoffs his rookie year, but his second, third years they did. I want to say they were swept then. But after that, it never happened. But here's something for you. Did you know Michael Jordan only played with one All-Star?
Really?
Scottie Pippen.
I was going to say Pippen would be the obvious answer.
Okay, so other players now. Dennis Rodman made the All-Star game a couple of times with the Pistons, but never with the Bulls. Ron Harper did in his career but never with the Cavs early on, but never with the Bulls. None of the other guys, LeBron's played with 8 to 10 All-Stars.
Well, now the way in the NBA is you put together the team you want. Who do you want? You bring them there. Your guys go anywhere they want.
And Jordan never chased rings.
No?
Right? He stayed in Chicago, and they built things. Never chased rings. All right. So, on this day in sports, Mr. Elliott.
Babe Ruth Day.
1947. I didn't realize it was a Babe Ruth Day.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So, 1947, on this day, celebrated at Yankee Stadium and throughout the U.S., they celebrated Babe Ruth Day. Not many people remember he finished his career with the Boston Braves.
Now, was that right after he died? Didn't he pass away in the late 40s? 47, you said. So.
I don't know. Hey, I didn't know this. In 1953, wrestler Freddie Blassie coins the term pencil neck geek. Did you know that? I didn't know he's the one.
I knew that was his term.
I didn't know that he coined it.
I didn't know he coined it. Yeah.
In his date, 1956, undefeated world heavyweight boxing champion Rocky Marciano retires from the ring.
Now, what's interesting, I always thought that Marciano was undefeated, right? But I thought he died in a plane crash while he was still an active boxer. But he had already retired.
I never heard that. But anyway,
Babe Ruth
this date, 19... What's that?
Sorry, Babe Ruth died at the age of 53.
What year?
48.
Okay. So he died the year,
after
Babe Ruth Day.
Wow, he died at 53.
I knew he died in the late 40s. Wow. But I knew he could be that. Couldn't have been that old.
He's 53 years old, man. I mean, I'll be 53 in November. I'm scared. Well, I'm scared.
Guess what? He did a lot of stuff you did. He did a lot more drinking than you did. Probably a lot more bad eating.
That's true. That's true. On this date in 1961, the NFL officially recognizes the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Oh, well.
I didn't realize there was a time that it wasn't recognized, but I guess it was.
Well, it had to start sometime.
That's true. This date in 1982, the University of Texas defensive end Kenneth Sims was the first pick by the New England Patriots.
82? I remember that.
This date in 1983, Nolan Ryan became the strikeout king, passing Walter Johnson. 3,509 strikeouts. On this date, 1992, New York Mets trade David Cone to the Blue Jays for Jeff Kent. I remember Jeff Kent.
He's the one, remember he got hurt with a duck. When you're like riding a motorcycle, try to say that he was like washing his truck or something.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On this date, 2017, the Browns drafted Texas A&M defensive end Myles Garrett with the first pick. Remember a few years ago, some people were kicked out of the game after he got in that. Was it with Mason Rudolph?
Well, what he did was pretty bad. Yeah. You crack somebody in the head with your helmet, or you just take a swing at
him. Well, if he would have hit him, he might have killed him.
Yes, so I think that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, right?
That's pretty
bad. Didn't he end up like man of the year?
He went from that to the best guy in the world. But you know what's weird? He doesn't even like football. He doesn't watch football. He's a poet. He likes writing poetry and things like that. He only plays football because he's really good at it. And he really is really, really, really good at it. This date, 1 year ago today, the Carolina Panthers made a huge mistake. They drafted
so far
Bryce Young.
He's
not any good, man. I said it before I said before last year's draft, he wouldn't have been a third round pick of mine. I wouldn't have drafted Bryce Young until the middle rounds. He's short, he's skinny, he's got a pop gun forearm. That's what he is.
So
That's what
I
he is.
So I always
I said it. before last year's draft.
So I always go back to, look, this is what these guys do for a job. They study it all the time.
I don't get
what it. What do you know that they don't know? Why do you know more than they do? I'm not saying they're not wrong. So far they're wrong, but what can they possibly see that you don't?
I think sometimes they get – sometimes these guys' judgment gets clouded by – they get the sticker shock. You know, I always get on you about looking at stickers on helmets and then also the people that are around them. When you've got great people around you, you don't have to be great. And I think that he benefited by having, you know, the best collection of skill position players in the game around him.
Well, then I'll go
and
back.
All he had to do was, you know, bubble screen, man.
Okay. So
he had to do, man.
They have game film. They know he played.
I get
it. So I'll go back.
Understand.
So you know something. So you know something they don't know or they can't figure out.
I don't know. I just, to me, he just didn't pass the eyeball
test. I'm not challenging you.
I'm just telling you.
It's interesting how that works.
I get it. I understand. But to me, he just did not pass the eyeball test. Just didn't. Birthdays in sports. On this date, 1896, Rogers Hornsby was brought into this earth. Second, NL MVP, won the batting champion three times. So the guy could really get after it. How about this? No, seven-time batting champion. He hit over 400 three times.
That's pretty good.
I mean, think about that. The last person hit 400, Ted Williams, hasn't been done in forever.
Four or six.
This dude did it three times.
Four or six.
Yeah.
Oh, you passed by Enos Country Slaughter right there, I see, for something.
Oh, you want to
What did Enos Country Slaughter do?
Enos Country Slaughter, a Hall of Fame right fielder, 10-time All-Star, World Series champion.
Was he born on this date?
Four times. Born on this date, 1916, yep.
Wow, he lived a 2002.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he was born in 1916, so I guess he seemed like someone who would have been born in, like Rogers Hornsby in the late 1800s.
Ground Chuck was born on this date in 1932. And that was his nickname, Ground Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck Knox, right?
Like running that football, yeah.
Seattle Seahawks,
Chuck
Rams.
Knox. Yep.
Are you ever coached in college? I don't think so. Not that I know of.
No, I don't think so. Can we get any more birthdays here? Any more good birthdays? Good one. Some weeks we get really good. Oh, the Iceman.
George Gervin.
The Iceman turned 72 today, George Gervin. Man, he was a silky smooth player, man. Gosh. San Antonio Spurs. So much fun to watch. Any other good? Did he stick out for you here? Oh, Jason Whitlock.
Jason Whitlock.
You liberal folks love Jason Whitlock.
No. Oh, you mean that we don't love it?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's Clay Travis's buddy.
Yeah, him and Clay Travis, outkick.com, baby. I love outkick.com. Love it. Oh, they hate him. They hate Jason Whitlock. I'm a big Jason Whitlock fan.
I think he's playing a role.
Oh, of course. I'm sure a lot of it. It's clickbait, man. I always
joke.
There's clickbait far left, far right. They do it just to rile people up, man. You know, and the funniest thing is, and this is politics for a second. It's like if you didn't know any better, and it's both sides, far left, far right. They would make you think we're on the brink of like having a civil war, and we're not. And everyone gets along.
It's the extreme.
I mean,
stuff.
99% of the people we all get along. There's going to be bad apples in any bunch, right? In any profession, any walk of life, man. It just makes me laugh when a lot of them, they just...
Well, the problem is, as we always say, of course, social media could be out there. You could be out... You know, back in the day, if you wanted to, you know, have your opinion, you could write to the editor. You could call a friend, I guess. But now you can just put it on a website for all to read.
Yeah. How about Detroit shatters the draft attendance, over 700,000 people and counting.
You know it's going to be in Green Bay next year. That's
really
odd. Yes, the draft will be in Green Bay. That's going to be interesting.
I did not know that.
Quite interesting because they obviously don't have the infrastructure that the big cities have.
No,
so.
Cooper Beebe to move from guard to center for the Cowboys. Okay, all right. Okay.
Is that a big deal?
I don't know. The Niners took safety Malik Mustafa with the pick acquired from the Cowboys for Trey Lance. That's still curious to me. You know, the Cowboys trade a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, took a flyer on him. And then when you hear people talk about, well, you know, maybe it's time to move on from Dak Prescott, you know, all this money, the contract isn't getting redone this year. Do you let him walk? Even if the Cowboys, he counts $56 million against this year's cap. And if they don't redo his deal and they let him walk, he still counts $40 million against next year's cap. But when they talk about, well, maybe the Cowboys should draft a quarterback, maybe they should be players in this, I'm thinking, I mean,
you got a first round.
You have Trey Lance. You just traded a fourth round pick for him. Look, you've got to see what's under the hood. The dude, you know, he was your ultimate dual threat quarterback in college. His last full season as a starter before COVID hit, he had 28 touchdowns, no interceptions. I think he threw for 3,000 yards, ran for another 1,500. So the guy was, you know, and he's 6'3", like 225 or 6'4", maybe. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Why in the world are you talking about other quarterbacks when you've got a dude right there, man? So one last look at our poll questions, and I know we have a third one as well, sponsored by Allsite Contracting. Again, for all of your roll-off container needs, call my friends at Allsite Contracting. Ask for Amy. Ask for Amy at 574-9000, 574-9000. If you need a roll-off container, dumpster, in the, you know, you're emptying, if you're having, let's say, a roof redone, if you're cleaning the garage out, you're trying to get rid of a bunch of stuff, and you need a container, or if you have a large commercial project, you need a container, call Allsite Contracting. Ask for Amy. If you don't get a container the next day, it's free. It's just that simple. It's free if you don't get next day service. And the poll question again are these and our final results. Casey Dobson.
Yeah, yeah. So Allsite Contracting bringing these three poll questions. The first one was, what is your take on the Jaguars 2024 draft results so far? Home run, stand-up double, Texas leaguer, or a strikeout and leading the way and has been all day, stand-up double. So, you know. Not too bad, not too bad. I'll take a double. That's a runner in scoring position, so I take it. The second one of the day, and we got our prayers answered out there with 102 votes. What do you hope the Jags do on day three, which is today? The best available player or target O-line help? And they went, they listened to us, actually. They heard the show. Trent Baalke has us in his ear, and he was like, the people are speaking. And he grabbed that target, O-line help. And that was at 61% that people wanted that. And after we drafted two players today, what is your instant reaction, Jax fan? Number one, let's go. Or number two, we still need more. And this one's pretty close. 54 votes are in. Let's go leading the way, though, at 57%.
Hey, as we get out of here real quick, so now more from this Atlanta Falcons. It gets even better. Terry Fontenot's asked, it says the Falcons outsmarted themselves by taking a quarterback with the 8th overall pick in the draft just 6 weeks after making 9-figure financial commitment to Kirk Cousins. They're now trying to clean up the mess they made in their relationship with the veteran. Terry Fontenot suggested that Penix could sit for a very long time. Huh, okay. If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him, Fontenot said. And if he sits 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. Okay, all right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to draft a quarterback that's going to sit for 4 to 5 years? Really? And we're going to commit all that money and to him and that draft capital to him?
Well, okay. My last quick story before we get out of here, but think on this as you're watching the draft day. Remember back in 80 or 81 – ESPN was new. They came to then Commissioner Pete Rozelle and said, we want to televise a draft. It's like, you're crazy. Nobody's going to watch that.
Remember
that?
Yes. We've talked about that, yes.
Rozelle thought they were nuts.
Yeah, and everyone watches it. They've watched so much of it, it's turned into a three-day spectacle instead of 2 days, and now in prime time as well. And then you have, again, Detroit setting a record for people showing up over 700,000 and counting. And this is what makes the NFL so great. They don't give you a date. They're like, hey, the draft is now scheduled to release in May. So they still leave you wanting more. It's not enough that you know, obviously, who the opponents are. But, hey, man, in May we're going to have a full, probably a three-hour primetime show just to tell you when and where the games are. I mean, it's just the NFL is a marketing genius, man. There's no one. They have no rival. They have no rival. They really don't. All right. Look, man, fun show. Again, the draft is almost behind us. Yeah, I'll go home, watch a little draft, get ready for AEW wrestling tonight, and then hope like heck that Monday night when my son toes the mound for the very last time in his senior, his high school baseball career, that we get a district win over the smart kids from Stanton. So, four fine folks here in the L House. For Chuck Elliott, for Casey Dobson, until next Saturday, I'm Ron Compton. See ya!